All right, you primitive screwheads, listen up.
Do you know what the problem is with you kids today? You guys think that all science fiction started in 1977 with Star Wars.
We put the picture's name on everything.
Oh, look, he's got a billion toys.
Baseball's the t-shirt.
What about movies like Forbidden Planet, The Day the Earth Stood Still, Solaris? What about Logan's Run?
Baseball's the lunchbox.
I have to possess this comic.
Baseball's the breakfast cereal.
I have Amigo Isis action figure.
Almighty Isis?
Baseball's the coloring book.
I say we stay here and fight it out.
Shut up, kid. You weren't even born when Star Wars came out.
You fuckers think that just because a guy reads comics he can't start some shit? I'll fucking take all you want!
I dreamed a dream in time gone by.
That's the song, Dream to Dream, the biggest news story this week.
I know, sung by Susan Boyle.
Right.
On Britain's Got Talent, which is kind of their American Idol.
Actually, I think they have an American Idol. It's different because it's more like Star Search, I think.
Oh, is that right?
I think it's more like I don't think there's a rating system like stars and shit,
right.
But I think it's probably more akin to Star Search than it is American Idol.
And I think it's important that we point out that this is obviously a case of anything can happen anywhere at any time.
It's a oh shit moment.
Because you're watching, and of course, they're doing the setup.
Right.
Like, oh, here comes one of these,
yep.
You know, these losers that's going to get up there and is going to be all embarrassing and all terrible and all that crap. And, you know, they play the whole kind of... the only thing we were missing... Oh, sorry, it's British. The only thing we were missing was talent.
Yeah, right.
But hopefully here in Brighton or wherever the fuck they were, the talent would soon emerge. And then they cut, like, they rack focus over to a frumpy woman.
Frumpy is a good word.
And they play that, you know, that just short of... Laurel and Hardy music, you know, like that kind of goofy, like, oh boy, oh, we're not going to see anything here. And then they're talking to her, and she's like 48 years old or 47 years old, whatever she is, and she just doesn't look like anything
at all.
So it's her turn up, and it's, you know, it's typically, it's a big stage, there's a big audience there, and you have Simon Cowell and the British Paula and the British
Randy Jackson.
Sitting there. And she comes out, and they're like, question. And of course, everybody is laughing as she's walking, you know, her waddle. And, you know, they're like asking her, what's her name? And blah, blah, blah. And she does some, she shakes her hips like, yeah, like she's hip and happy to be there. And everybody's just writing her off. Left and right, writing her completely off. They're laughing at her. They're just like, they're not taking it seriously at all. It's a goof. And you know, they throw at least a dozen of these in during the whole audition process on American Idol for the entertainment factor.
Right.
And then she says she's going to sing Dream to Dream.
From Les Miserables.
Yeah, she from Les Miserables. which is what she said. And they say she's going to sing that song. And then another wave of ha-has and oh,
I mean, you see a couple of the judges openly laugh.
Yeah.
My God, no.
It's just so embarrassing. You know, and you know what you're thinking? You're like, oh, this poor woman. And she's going to get so embarrassed. And, you know, like you can see it on some people's faces. Some people are doing that. You know, they're doing that Jack Black. What face? What? You know, that face where they crank their eyebrows and their smile goes up on the side, you know, like that face. And they're doing that, and then the music starts and everybody's really quiet, and she belts out the first five words of that song, and the whole place loses their fucking mind. Simon Cowell's face, I've never seen it I've never seen in my life him. He had written her off easily 5 minutes before she started singing.
You know that bad cliche, my jaw dropped?
Yeah.
Simon's jaw dropped. But his
whole face dropped.
His eyebrows went up.
Yeah.
His jaw came down.
Oh, my God. And she sang the shit out of that song.
She was quite impressive.
I was
no pitchiness.
No,
it was perfect.
Perfect. All her transitions were good. Look, we're talking like we know some shit. Well, I do. But the point is,
I kind of know some shit.
I'm just saying, sir. Right. I mean, it was really an amazing performance. And then of course, at the end, she finishes her song, and everybody by the end of the song, everybody is standing on their feet, clapping.
Uh-huh.
You know, like the whole place is behind her. She owns the fucking room.
Right.
Oh, even like one of the judges is even standing up at the Paula.
Yeah, the
is
Paula
standing
judge.
Up
right.
And clapping. And she just starts walking off the stage.
And they're like, no, come like, back.
And, like, and like the two, because you couldn't replace Ryan Seacrest with one semi-gay dude, the two semi-gay Ryan Seacrest European version have to like direct her to go, because they're waiting in the wings. They direct her to go back out. Go back out. Go back out. And so she can have her little critique. And of course, the Randy Jackson's like, yo, dog. He's like, in British, though. In Britain, that's what he essentially said.
Right.
but he said, that he was he's never been so overwhelmed by a performance and surprised and everything. And then the Paula said the same thing. And Simon Cowell goes, I knew the moment you came out that we were going to hear something amazing. And of course, everyone's like, bullshit. But it was really such an entertaining moment. And you know, normally we wouldn't talk about this sort of thing, but it's making national news, like international news.
It's the biggest thing in the news this week.
I couldn't believe
it. It has surpassed the Pirates.
Right.
It's bigger than the Pirates.
Yes. Which you'd think. You know, we would start talking about pirates because you and I both enjoy the Pirates.
Not Somalian pirates.
They didn't come out with that expansion.
Oh, is that? No, they did. The Barbary Coast.
Is that what that was?
Expansion. And that's like the Barbary Coast there. So that expansion
is correct. You're correct. I have to go back and look in and see if any of my Pirates games from WizKids Barbary Coast cards look anything like the pirates that attacked our vessel last week. I doubt it.
Oof.
Yeah, that's apparently that license is still up in the air, so we don't know what the future of that license is. But I'll tell you this, those of you who are fans of the Pirates game, we used to talk about it a whole bunch.
Well, yeah, we used to cover every expansion.
Yeah, every expansion. And it was basically a little game where you got a pack of cards, but then the cards were made of like a credit card material that you punched out and you formed little ships.
Mini models.
Yeah, and then you played like a tabletop version with the little mini model ships. Absolutely fantastic stuff. It's kind of... WizKids, of course, is no longer with us, and the licenses under WizKids, Pirates being one, HeroClix being another, and Star Wars Pocket Model,
wherever they
game.
Are.
Yeah,
there was Halo. All, right?
Yeah, they're being fenced out. Yeah.
Right.
HeroClix, yes, was another one. And they're all being fenced
Didn't
out.
Did Upper Deck get a lot of those?
I think most of them are still in the air.
Oh, okay.
There's some sort of thing happening. But in any event, we don't have any idea where Pirates is going, but if you go to Target, they're blowing them out.
Right.
Blowing them out. I think the packs might have been a buck and a half. And those special edition box sets, which come with like three packs and a special ship, were like $3 or $4. Where normally they were like whatever they were.
So a pirate collector can dream.
Yes. Yes. So tying it all together.
See, that full circle. Susan, which brings us to the title. Did we actually name the episode? I think we just went into it.
I think we, well, yeah, Dream
Dream
the
Dream. Is that? That's the official name of episode 144.
Yeah, in celebration of the anything can happen feeling one gets from watching international superstar Susan Boyle.
Right.
I'm just stunned to death. I had a Simon Cowell moment myself watching it like, God damn.
Done almost fell
but
out
in
your
British.
Chair.
Yeah.
Right, but in British.
Right, yeah.
Okay.
So, any news?
No, actually. Oh, yeah. Well, there's some. It's not a lot.
Well, let's kind of trips our way through it then.
Trips our way through it? You're going to feel that way about most of this stuff.
Let's start with any show news. First of all, you know, if you have any topics you'd like to hear us discuss, or you'd like to comment on any of the topics that we discuss here on Big Kev's Geek Stuff, you can, of course, go over to the website, BigKev'sGeekStuff.com, and you can leave your comments over there on the episodes. Or you can call our hotline number,
425-920-6050.
Right, and you can leave us a message over there, and you might hear yourself on a future episode of Big Kev's Geek Stuff.
You may.
While you're over there, Big Kev's Geek Stuff, you can check out each and every episode, each and every week. There's a photo gallery that comes with that as well. You can buy the official T-shirt and any other products that we may have for sale over there as well.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think I've covered everything.
I think I had a brain fart there. I was going to add something else, and I don't know what it was.
I know what you're going to add, but it's no longer there.
Right, it's no longer there. I still had the placeholder. Yep. I still had,
see it,
it was
in your
an
head,
open tag,
and it's like,
in my
nope,
mind.
And gone.
It's gone now.
You can check out over there. I know what is over there, and that is a brand new string of Studio Vs are starting to trickle their way onto the site as well. Our live product segments, live from Studio V, which is both an oxymoron and a silly name.
Right.
And as well as some of our other video pieces as well. And our upcoming, now, did we say we were going to talk or announce about this week?
I don't think so.
No, we're going to wait another week?
I think so.
Okay, good. That's easy then. We don't have to get into that.
Right. But that's a good tease. Now
yes.
They know there is an announcement coming.
Yes. So should we say it next week?
We will have an announcement next week.
And we don't have a soundbite yet for Triple B.
We don't.
Our new producer, so we can't even pretend that he's here and then play his catchphrase soundbite, you betcha, Kev.
Although.
But what?
You know, Triple B, living up to the his title, like many other producers.
Yeah,
first
it's true.
He's supposed to be here with us live.
Yeah.
And not here. So.
It happens. The man has a life.
I'm just saying there have been some other people who have sat in that seat.
Let's just say, I know, you know, other people have sat in that seat, not showing up or whatever. Nothing to do with this program. Triple B right now could be on assignment for this program.
All right.
That's all I'm saying.
All right.
I will.
Fair enough.
It'll be Big Kev for the defense.
Okay.
And you'll be the prosecution.
Right, the asshole.
The court of Triple B will commence next week. And
nice.
He will be with us next week as well. So.
What, you want to talk about Robin Hood?
Okay.
Every fucking week.
Which Robin Hood is this?
This is the shitty Russell. Well, I shouldn't say shitty. It
we
may
don't
be
know.
Fantastic.
It could be a great movie.
This is the Russell Crowe one.
I have an update about that.
Okay.
Do you know the young man, and you may have to look this up, do you know the young man who a couple of weeks ago we talked about him playing Alan Adale, or actually, we didn't say he was playing Alan Adale. You simply said he was playing a minstrel because he was listed as a minstrel. But I believe that may have been updated now that he is actually playing Alan Adale.
Alan Doyle.
Alan Doyle
is
yes.
playing Alan Adale.
Alan Adale.
Right.
You ready for this?
Sure.
Alan Doyle
uh-huh.
is the lead singer
okay.
of a band that we have discussed on this program.
Uh-oh, am I going to feel stupid after you say this?
Probably not. He's the lead singer of a band called Great Big Sea.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
And I did not know this until when preparing the photo file, if you will, that we put up with each episode that has pictures of some of the things or related imagery of the topics we're talking about. And once I saw this picture, I said, now, I've seen that guy live before. In South Orange, New Jersey, like 5 months ago. So
right,
I was like,
is.
Who is that? And it is the lead singer of the Great Big Sea. If you never heard Great Big Sea, if you like sort of sea shanties with a great beat, I don't know what to compare them to. There really is nothing to compare them to. They are fantastic, both live and on disc.
Why don't we make a decision right now to end the show tonight with a Great Big Sea song?
Okay, we will. And we'll let
that way they can hear it.
Super fan, my fiance Liz, will pick that song.
Oh, well, there you go.
So, that's how we'll do that.
Okay, so there's a Robin Hood update.
Yes.
On something we talked about prior, but here's something new. William Hurt.
Uh-huh. Friar Tuck.
In Robin Hood.
Friar Tuck.
No. He's playing William Marshall. I don't know what role that is.
William Marshall?
You're familiar with Robin Hood lore?
Sir, I am familiar with many Robin Hood tales, not the least of which is, oh, well, yes, there it is. There's the, of course, the music from the great 1934 classic, The Adventures of Robin Hood, starring one Errol Flynn.
William Marshall is the Earl of Pembroke, and according to the Robin Hood legend, he's the only man to ever unhorse Richard the Lionheart in a joust.
Okay. And somehow this is significant.
Apparently he's in the film. Well, we like William Hurt.
We don't know who's playing Richard yet, though.
I don't think that we know who's playing Richard yet. No.
Okay, that's interesting. Okay, so, well, it's seeming like it's building out to be a nice cast. So we can look forward to that.
Okay, on to other casting news we probably don't care much
about. I thought we were going right into the wrap-up.
Oh, yeah. On this week's episode of Big Kev's Geek Stuff, we talked about Robin Hood and Susan Boyle. See you next week.
The end. No.
All right. So, Johnny Quest. It was a cartoon.
Yes, a fantastic cartoon.
Yes. And we've talked about in the past that there was some rumors running around the world.
Cal Penn as Haji. Oh, he can't now. He's
not
working.
Not anymore. That we were going to see a Johnny Quest film.
Uh-huh. One of them little slumdog kids as Haji.
I haven't heard that yet, but we have a possible Johnny.
Oh?
Zac Efron from High School Musical.
Is that the same Zac Efron who was in... Wasn't he in Hairspray also?
Yes, he was in Hairspray also.
That kid is Johnny Quest? He's apparently too old. Johnny Quest, like, 11.
Okay. I'm just saying.
Oh, that's not good.
There also is some rumors that they're not going to call the film Johnny Quest.
Of course. Well, they're going to call it Bob.
And the reason they're saying they're not going to call it Johnny Quest is because they don't want the connotation between the movie and the film to be there, because they don't want people to think about how terrible Speed Racer was.
I see. Well, that's a legit fear, because Speed Racer. Look, I was never a fan of the Speed Racer cartoon.
I like Speed Racer.
I was never a fan. That said, that Speed Racer movie was a piece of shit compared to the cartoon that I didn't like.
It was a loaf.
Ooh, a loaf, sir. An unpinched loaf is what it was.
An unpinched loaf. Well, there it is.
That was a complete full-ended loaf. I think it's on every level, the Johnny Quest is a bad idea. So, bravo.
I have to agree with you there.
Bravo to whatever idiots are deciding to do this.
Okay. Moving on. Spider-Man.
Yeah.
And not the film. And not an animated series.
Okay.
This is the Broadway production.
Oh, good.
Brought to us by
gravy.
Julie Taymor and Bono of U2.
Okay. Now, that said, Julie Taymor is a wonderfully visual film director.
Yes.
And in fact, her latest film, her most recent film, I think, was Across the Universe.
I believe that's correct.
Which was the Beatles movie. It's basically a movie where they contrived, but that sounds negative if I use contrived.
No, you could say contrived, because typically speaking, that's exactly what these are.
Okay.
They take these musicians and their songs, and they try to mush a story out of them.
Right, kind of like Mamma Mia.
Right.
And in lesser sense,
what was that Billy Joel one that was on Broadway, right?
Oh, yeah, but I'm just
moving out.
I'm just sticking to movies.
Though. Oh, okay, I'm sorry.
So, but that said, and there was also Moulin Rouge. The
yes.
Baz Luhrmann spectacular, which had a lot of pop songs in it, but they kind of made
That's
it work.
That's a little different, but yes, right. on the same kind of
right.
fork in the road path.
I thought the movie was fabulous.
Across the universe. Oh, absolutely.
And Bono was in that flick.
He was in that flick.
So them working together, they must have some sort of friendship. And Bono, I thought, was fantastic in that film.
Absolutely.
Also. Okay. What's the news?
So there's some casting rumors floating around. Now, okay. There are two. One comes from the interwebs, which, as we know, is considered mostly unreliable most of the time.
The interweb.
And one comes from a source that we have. You know, that's kind of in the know.
An inside source. Okay.
That's kind of in the know. So we'll start with the interweb rumor first. Currently, the casting of Spider-Man, if you read the interweb, is going to... or looks like it's going to be going to Adam Lambert, who is currently or who was recently kicked off American Idol. But he was one of those favorites everybody loved. Why did he get removed kind of deal?
Okay.
So that's the fake one. And I don't know the guy. I don't watch Idol, so I haven't heard him sing.
No idea.
Yada yada. Now, according to our source, two people are about to sign, or very close to signing, hopefully, for Peter and Mary Jane. The same. Evan Rachel Wood and Jim Sturgis.
So that's interesting. Yeah, so, it's an Across the Universe reunion?
Yeah, apparently.
Why don't they just put Across the Universe on Broadway?
I don't know.
That's pretty funny. Well, then we should say, of course, Evan Rachel Wood and Jim Sturgis, right?
Yes.
Were the leads in Across the Universe. And, of course, if you add in Bono and you add in Julie Taymor, it's like a reunion. Well, that would be good on some levels.
At least we know they've worked together.
Yes.
And well. And I enjoyed both of their performances in that film.
Fantastic. I mean, certainly it was a whole different side of Evan Rachel Wood that nobody had seen.
I don't doubt anybody that's involved in this project.
Right.
I think they all have talent.
Mm-hmm.
I just doubt Spider-Man as a musical.
Oh, totally. Oh, I agree.
That's the problem.
It's not the cast or the direction or the writing. Yeah, it's
Spider-Man.
Simply the theory.
Right.
Evan Rachel Wood is hot, sir.
Very.
But you best be staying away from her because of her boyfriend.
Who's her boyfriend?
Marilyn Manson.
Oh, well, since she's crazy, too.
Yes.
Well, then she's up your alley.
Thanks.
No problem.
Thanks for pointing that out. Sure, my fiance will have a word with you later about that.
Should have listened to this show. Who are you kidding? She ain't here.
Oh, yeah?
This is easy. Sweep it under the rug.
Didn't we just say she was picking the end song for this?
Well, she could pick the song.
Oh, okay.
She won't listen to the news.
All right,
you know.
I'm just saying.
Let's talk about Angelina Jolie.
Okay. She has a nice body. Mm. The lips are okay.
Things are fading fast there. It's a slippery slope, I think.
Well... She was very nice.
She was very nice. She's still mostly very nice. Right, Gia. She is coming up again in our circle of news because the Sin City news is starting to swirl around again.
Okay.
And apparently, according to the interwebs inside sources, she is close to signing on for that movie. Now, she's been rumored to be assigned to that project pretty much since the project was announced.
Yeah, a long time ago.
She was going to play Ava Lord, who's the lead in the Dame to Kill For storyline.
Right.
And I guess that's coming around again. Now, I don't know if this is coming around again simply because there's talk of the movie coming around again or there's any actual credence, is that the right word?
Yes.
To the fact that she might be signing something. Mm-hmm. So I'm just saying.
It's all kind of a shame because of what happened with the Spirit.
We'll get to that later.
Yes. But it's all kind of a shame because I think Frank Miller, director of the Spirit and director, co-director or whatever the fuck it was called of the original Sin City movie, I think he's kind of got a black mark on him now a little bit. So everyone's a little hesitant to give Frank millions of dollars to make these sort of wacko movies anymore, but who knows?
All right. Brian Austin Green.
Yeah, I heard this one.
Okay. So.
No.
We know there's a Green Lantern movie coming
No.
out, or someone's working on it.
No.
And he is interested in the role.
No, no, no.
Now, I don't necessarily think it's bad. I don't. I think that he's actually halfway decent. Maybe we should play the spoiler alert real quick.
Attention, the following information is considered spoiler material.
Okay, there it is.
Okay, and we know that he has lots of time now that he's no longer on Terminator the Sarah Connor Chronicles.
Okay.
So, he's interested in the role, and he's kind of putting it out to people to find out what they think. Now, I haven't read anybody's responses as to what they think.
Nobody with the half of the name of the title of the movie in his actual name should be in the movie.
Okay.
That's right. And if there's somebody out there named Joe Lantern interested in the part, he should go the hell away as well.
Now, I did an impromptu poll amongst the big Kev's Geek Stuff listener fan base.
Yes.
And out of the 27 people that responded in about a 3-hour period, Only one person said that they thought it was a bad idea.
And who was that?
I'm not going to name names. And it was a listener.
Some person who agreed with me?
It was listener
X.
The other listeners all thought in some capacity that he could be good, that he had proven himself able to do some sort of action-type role based on his performance in Terminator, and that, you know, it was at least worth entertaining compared to the nobody else that's tied to it now, and at least his name is maybe worthy of being in the pot. Now, clearly, there's nothing that says he's going to be this. Clearly, no one has said that they're interested in using him. But I guess he's the first real name that's been thrown into the pot. So
okay,
we could start the Green Lantern mishmash rumor mill now, and we'll keep on throwing names into that pot until it burrows down into the fact that they're never
actually
going to make the movie.
We'll throw something in the pot, all right?
Yeah. So there it is.
Yuck.
All right, so talking about Brian Austin Green and Terminator, the Sarah Connor Chronicles, this coming weekend, April 18th, I believe it's April 18th, Fox is going to announce its upcoming lineup for the fall. And so the big question, naturally, on everybody's minds, is whether or not we can expect to see Terminator and Dollhouse back on the schedule. Right now, most people think no.
Right now?
Including Joss Whedon.
I would agree with them. Because Dollhouse blows chimps.
It does not blow chimps. The ratings might not be stellar, but it has really picked up, and it's actually turning into a halfway decent show.
Mm-hmm.
Most people would agree that after episode 6, that it's gotten a lot better than it started off with.
Mm-hmm. And I have not liked the Sarah Connor Chronicles since the pilot.
I know, but you're just a negative Nancy.
I'm not, sir. A lot of people agree with me. That continuity busting pilot ruined that show.
But a lot of people love that show. It's got a really strong fan base online.
Yeah, it's all actiony and science fictiony, and it's got fucking River in it, and it's got
Her aside, a lot of people like that show. I'm just saying a lot of people like the show.
What I'm saying about people is they suck. So
we know that.
Just saying.
But
be honest, don't you think that, you know, maybe this little, sort of bad jump off the tracks from the whole Terminator timeline, if you will, don't you think, like, it's time for it to hit the bricks? I mean, what else can they possibly do? What are they going to follow the show until he grows up and becomes Christian Bale?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you have the movie coming out.
Oh, wait a minute. Matt, what's that music? Oh, it looks like it's time for our Dungeons & Dragons update of the week. And, of course, this week the Dungeons & Dragons update is dedicated to some guy named Dave Arneson, who apparently had something to do with Dungeons & Dragons, although we can't really figure out what it was.
You know, I connect with Dave Arneson. You know why? Because he was the OG.
Of D&D?
Of D&D.
And Gary Gygax was the big Kev?
That's it.
An interesting theory.
He was the other guy.
It is an interesting theory. Tonight, we're just going to continue our exploration of the fourth edition of Dungeons & Dragons from our friends at Wizards of the Coast. You can go over to dndinsider.com, letter D, letter N, letter D, insider.com, for more information about this product and other products coming for the brand new fourth edition. I'm telling you, man, this fourth edition is like a goddamn virus.
Good.
I mean, it's just exploding everywhere, and one guy gets it, and all of a sudden there's all these other people, and it's actually really fantastic.
Let's hope it sticks.
I agree. And speaking of sticking,
sticker book?
No, no that would be interesting. I don't see the playable purpose in this. Maybe it was like color forms. But anyway, in any event, my big regret so far is that we have actually not participated in a fourth edition game.
Other than to read the books.
Yes. And it's my fault, too, because I'm holding out for the fourth edition Eberron transfer book thing. I am. And they keep...
I know.
They told me it's coming. All right. Anyway, tonight... let's
dream a dream, Kev.
I know. That is my dream. My dream is to play D&D in the fourth edition in the Eberron universe. That said, tonight we're just going to talk really quickly about Demon Queen's Enclave.
Okay.
Which is an adventure for characters of 14 to 17 level.
Nice. That's a good, like, kind of higher level campaign. That's hardcore.
Right. And what's good about these things coming out with different levels and so on and so forth, and we should say this is a game module and adventure, if you will, that
right.
A DM may choose to run his characters through. And it takes place, and the reason I wanted to talk about, one of the reasons, is that it takes place in Underdark, which is the home of one of my favorite species in D&D, the Drow.
Now, is this the first time we're seeing the Drow back into this fourth edition? I don't remember
I don't think they were
in the player's handbook.
I don't know. They may have been in the Monster Manual.
Maybe they were in the Monster's Manual.
I don't remember, though, to be honest with you. I don't think this is the first instance that we're seeing them. But that said, they're a fantastic species of jet black skin and white hair, and they're creepy, and I really used to like playing them as character.
Well, yeah.
They were fun. Little of the flavor text on the back. Long ago, the Drow unwittingly built a small enclave above a subterranean realm where a corrupted finger of the Shadowfell touches the world. Once home to a vampire exarch of Orcus, this dead zone still contains unspeakable malevolence that seeks to create terrifying new soldiers for the demon prince of the undead. Bah-ha-ha-ha. So this gives you everything you need to tell this little story and have your characters participate in it. Includes a 32-page guide that contains an adventure overview, new monsters, and full-color illustrations of sights and scenes in the adventure, a 64-page encounter guide detailing the horrors of the Demon Queen's Enclave, and a double-sided battle map designed for use with D&D miniatures. So there you go. It's everything you need to tell the story. You know, these modules, we keep talking about them. This is identified as P2, by the way. And it does say that this can be played as a continuation of the adventure P1, King of the Troll Haunt Warrens. But it's also fine to stand on its own. And that's good that you're able to do either one of those. You could, you know, kind of string these things along through these modules. And this could take you some time to play.
Oh, absolutely.
Or you can take these as individual adventures and find a way to make them all work in. Absolutely fantastic. It's a terrific read. I've read through it, and sounds like a lot of fun for any characters that will get to play it. The Demon Queen's Enclave. It's brand new from Dungeons & Dragons 4th Edition from our friends over at Wizards of the Coast. Check out dndinsider.com, letter D, letter N, letter D, insider.com for more information on this and other fantastic 4th Edition Dungeons & Dragons products. And that is our D&D update for the week.
It's D&D! Warriors that terrify. It's D&D!
So there it is.
Yeah.
We like the D&D.
I do. I'm very excited. Eventually, we are going to sit down. By God, we are going to sit down and play this this game ourselves. I know more about it than I've known about the last two volumes or versions of D&D, and yet I haven't played a single game. So let's take a break.
Okay.
And we'll be right back. Big Kev's right. Geek Stuff, episode 144, Dreamed a Dream.
Combo Breaker!
ComboBreaker.com makes original video game t-shirts that gamers want to wear. Head over to ComboBreaker.com to shop for original gaming t-shirts based on some of the best games ever made. From the classics to the soon-to-be classics, check out ComboBreaker's first round of shirts featuring designs inspired by your old-school favorites like Simon's Quest, Metroid, Punch-Out, and Star Fox. And just in time for the long-anticipated release of Street Fighter IV, pre-order your Raging Demon t-shirt now. But that's not all. ComboBreaker.com also brings you unbiased reviews and a damn good podcast to boot. So head over to the iTunes store, search for Combo Breaker, and subscribe today.
If you're in the tri-state area, pick up your ComboBreaker.com apparel at Digital Press Video Games, 387 Paget Avenue, Route 46 East, Clifton, New Jersey.
And for a limited time, visit ComboBreaker.com and enter coupon code GeekStuffXM during checkout for an extra 10% off your next order.
That's ComboBreaker.com for the best in original gamer designs.
You know it.
Combo Breaker!
Welcome back. You dreams were your ticket out.
Hey, this is Robert Hedges from Welcome Back, Kotter.
This is Lauren Hoogland Jacobs from Welcome Back, Kotter.
Hey, this is Ron Palillo from Welcome Back, Kotter, and you are listening to Big Kev's Geek Stuff.
Right on, y'all.
But those dreams have remained and they've turned around.
And we are back with Big Kev's Geek Stuff, episode 144, Dreamed a Dream.
Right. Let's get right into comics we'd like you to check out this week. From Dynamite Entertainment, it's Zorro, number 12.
Nice.
Yeah, of course, continues to be a fantastic representation of that great character, Zorro, from Dynamite. Love the pulpy stuff coming from Dynamite. This and Lone Ranger is really good. And that Buck Rogers, you know, looks like it's going to be something as well. From our friends at IDW, it's the Star Trek Alien Spotlight Klingons.
Nice.
And yes, and it's it is a story about Klingons, stories containing Klingons. It is up to your neck in Klingons, sir. Individual little story. It's a one shot. They've done a couple of other races so far, and this is just the next one. Check it out. It's very good. From Moonstone, Phantom Generations number one, which is
new Phantom book.
It is rather a guide, if you will.
Okay.
To how we got to the point we're at with the Phantom. It's more of a history sort of thing. It's a little bit more complex than I'm making, or maybe it's probably a little less complex than I'm making.
You're making it out to be.
If you're a fan of the Phantom, though, it gives you more insight into the character over the years.
Okay.
Over the generations. Because, of course, the Phantom passes from one generation to another generation. So this gives you a little more insight into that whole generational thing that's happening there.
Right.
And that's from Moonstone. From Marvel Comics, it's Submariner Comics number one. This is like our...
This is the freebies that they've been giving out, right?
No, sir, not the freebies. This is the 70th anniversary stuff that they've been doing. Remember last week we talked about a Captain America book? It's kind of the same kind of thing. It's set in, you know, in the 40s, and...
there is one difference.
Yes?
Nobody cares about the Submariner.
But as a character in the 40s, sir, he was very viable. And
I'm just saying.
That's the angle I'm taking with it here. Okay. I appreciate it on that level. And, of course, the fantastic book from Marvel, Moon Knight.
You and fantastic and Marvel. I reel from it. I know. I wince.
It's issue 29, and it has Moon Knight on the cover facing a couple of luchadors.
Ooh, luchadors.
Yes. And this continues to be a very interesting book. And I'm really, really happy with it. So there it is. Comics to check out this week. On the DVD front, there's really only one thing we want to point out this week. And that's...
And barely.
Yeah, and it's The Spirit. I got the two-disc limited edition. It has the digital copy and all that jazz in it. Yeah.
I'm not going to lie. I'm going to pick this up also. So,
oh, yeah.
I have to own it. You
right.
Know what I mean?
You know why? Because I think maybe you and I can appreciate it, where I think mass audiences, and rightly so, because it was so inside, couldn't appreciate it.
Absolutely.
That said, in our boot of the week.
We have a boot of the week?
Yes. It's an associated boot of the week. And this is The Spirit.
Nice.
Yeah,
look,
this is actually from 1986. It was a pilot for a TV show, which would have run about an hour and a half or so on TV at that time. And it starred our friend, Sam J. Jones.
You mean the Flash Gordon?
Yes, in a TV pilot. Can you believe that? And what's funny about it is it's really cartoony. He's actually in a blue suit.
You mean like he's supposed to be?
Yes, like he's supposed to be. Oh, that was hardly the problem with the movie.
No, I know. I'm just saying.
I thought the black suit was a good move.
I was being a picky Pete.
Yes. Also, Nana Visitor from Star Trek Deep Space Nine as Ellen Dolan, Gary Wahlberg as Commissioner Dolan, and Bumper Robinson as Yubi.
Nice.
So, yeah, it was actually a funny cast. The pilot is not what you would call
good.
Good. and that's probably why nobody bought it.
Right.
I think if this had come, I think if this was 86, so I'd say if this had come 10 years later, it might have had a shot. For like half a minute.
Fair enough.
Oh, come on, dude. If Mantis made TV what was that other one?
Manimal.
No, Manimal. That was before this. No, what was it? It was another comic. The guy had like one red eye. It was Malibu comic.
Night Watch.
I can't remember what it was, but it was a silly show, and all of them happened right around that era. I think
Malibu.
That was
wow.
Remember
Prime?
So yeah, there it is. So you can probably still find this at some trade shows if you're really interested and you really want to laugh. If you're a fan of the spirit, none of these are going to satisfy you,
right?
Because nothing works like the book. It just doesn't work on film.
That's
I don't understand why it ever got lifted off of the page, but that's just my opinion. And that's Big Kev's Geek Stuff for the...
Nice! See you later.
Maybe we should do a few more things.
Oh. Better be good.
They are. It's just a couple of product pieces we want to point out that have come out. An absolutely fantastic two-pack has made its way from Diamond Select Toys. They have the Star Trek license, as you know, for most, not the new stuff, but I think all of the previous TV shows. And their latest two-pack, which I don't want to get too far into with regards to why I have a problem with it, but let's just say that it's Worf, Chancellor Galron, and Lieutenant Commander Worf, both of which I think are fantastic sculpts, fantastic pieces. They come with a full array of weapons, batleth, all sorts of little things, alternate hands, everything you'd expect. So here's my problem.
Go.
They're like 7 or 8 inches tall.
As opposed to?
6. For some reason, they upscaled these figures at some point, and they no longer match with each other.
That's called giving it to the man.
I guess, but I don't understand the move. Don't get me wrong. I think this Galron may be one of the best pieces they've ever done. I mean, he's fantastic. But that said, I don't understand the logic behind upscaling these by an inch or two.
Because everybody was changing scale, and they didn't want to be left out.
Yeah, so they just bumped all the rest of their previously made stuff?
Yeah.
Ugh, doesn't make any sense.
Isn't that what everybody else is doing? They've just bumped all their previously made stuff?
Maybe.
Come on.
It's a great two-pack from Diamond Select Toys, so check that out. They have a variety of old-school Star Trek products available.
Nice.
From Grand Jester Studios and the Walt Disney Showcase Collection, a piece we've been rabidly waiting for some time has finally appeared, and it's the Rocketeer bust.
Okay.
It's a little, looks like a quarter scale Rocketeer bust in that usual pose. Gun
Not
up
quarter
in the
scale.
Air.
Huh? Quarter scale?
It looks like it's quarter scale.
Oh, yeah, I guess so. Okay.
The bust?
Yeah.
Might be a tiny bit smaller. It's a good size. It goes along with all of your other busts.
Rocketeer paraphernalia?
Yes, and there isn't much of it, so you have to appreciate it when you can. Get when you can get it, I should say. A fantastic piece. I know these are limited. I don't know. I think the edition number is 1,000, but that came this week as well. I think Sideshow may be selling these, so you might want to check out SideshowToy.com and see if you can get one over there if you're a Rocketeer fan. I think you can
and
check
who
that.
Isn't?
Well, who isn't?
That's what
nobody's smart.
That's right.
That movie is fantastic. I don't care what anybody says.
Babu.
And finally, rounding us out tonight in our product additions to the world this week is the latest addition to the Batman Black and White line from DC Direct.
You're a negative Nancy.
This is Batman. Another Batman from the Batman animated feature, Batman Gotham Knight.
Okay.
I don't get it.
I don't know. What do I look like?
I'm just saying, here's my problem. First of all, he looks like a fox, not like a bat, with this silly helmet on.
I kind of like the helmet a little bit.
I know, but you're not really known for your taste.
I kind of like it a little bit. I'm not going to lie.
Well, that said, it's sculpted by Derek Miller. It's a limited edition of 3,500. These went up in price, by the way. We failed to mention that, I think, last time.
Oh, really?
I think the last one we did was the Joker. Yeah, they were around 50 bucks or so, 50, 60 bucks, I want to say. Mm. And now they're like 70, 75.
More than that.
Yeah, which is a little disturbing. And I don't... I got it because I have all the rest of them, and they look so fantastic together as a collection. They really, really do. But that said, I think that now they have kind of, unfortunately, they're kind of maybe coming to the end of the road.
And that's a bad thing.
And it is, because it's a shame that they cannot get the point and the attraction of these pieces, where these were different artists' interpretation of the character Batman. So what have they done?
Well, isn't that the same? Isn't that what that is?
Yes.
It's an artist's interpretation of the character.
Yes, it is. But it's not a comic book artist's interpretation of the character, sir. It's an animator, and a Japanese animator for that. Now, do I care that he's Japanese, or that he's a Japanese animator, and that they've done a version of Batman black and white based on his designs? No. What I care about is that's not what this series has been. The series has been famous artists who have handled Batman in the past and doing a 3D representation of their take on the character. That said, not only is this and the previous Gotham Knight Batman black and white based on that animated series, now there are two, now they've started to do villains in black and white.
The Joker and upcoming Penguin.
Yes, the Joker based on Jim Lee, who did not do Joker in black and white in any of the Batman black and white. These are based somewhat based on the idea of that whole Batman black and white book series that they did.
Right.
Which was,
that's how it kind of sort of started.
Yeah.
Kind of.
And it's fantastic. And I think they've taken the idea of different artists, comic artists interpreting Batman and running with it to a great level. But that said, they've just stopped. And meanwhile, there's still, I could still, if I were to sit here and think about it, I could probably still name at least, I'm going to say 5 to 10 artists who have in some way done Batman that could easily be 3D represented.
Well,
here,
the line's not dead, so let's see who's next.
No, but the line is obviously, you know, obviously it needs that, what do you call it, the defibrillator.
The defibrillator.
Clear.
That line is in cardiac arrest.
Yeah. When you're producing, when you start to produce villains in black and white, and I, guess what? I bought the Joker because I'm a Joker file.
Absolutely.
Not buying the Penguin.
Okay.
Not buying the Penguin.
Fine.
Not going to get him. I'm telling you, it was really kind of a long debate standing there in my local store as to whether I'd even buy this Gotham Knight one. Because I think they've strayed away from the strength of the series of statues. And when do you get to say that? There's no series of statues. I mean, short of like, you know, Gentle Giant busts as a series, or, you know, stuff like that as a series. They've strayed away. Let me give you an example you can appreciate. You know those Adam Hughes quarter scale, Marvel quarter scales?
The Comiquettes?
Yes.
Yes, I have all of them.
Yes, I know that you do. Now, let's say... they decided to do an interpretation of a female Marvel character in that line, but it was like a dude.
A female interpretation of a dude?
Yeah.
I probably would be unhappy with that.
Yes, why?
Because that's not the purpose of the line.
So that's what I'm getting at here. See what I mean?
I understand what you're saying.
You feeling me?
I understand what you're saying. And the only thing I could say is hopefully the line will get back on track or die. It's one or the other.
Die.
Those are the options.
That's
at
it.
This point. Back
live
on track
or die.
Off the road. That's it. Into a tree, burning ditch.
Back on track, fuck them.
In a ditch, covered in petrol.
That's it.
That's it. So that was fun.
There it is. That's all I'm going to say about that. I hope they're going to get back on track with this series. But I'm telling you, from what I can see right now, I don't know who's coming next. They haven't listed on the back of the box any ones that are coming up. So I don't know. I know Penguin is in the pipe. I don't know if there's another Batman one. I don't remember who it is, if indeed there is one.
Okay.
These are like quarterly now, too. I think they're doing one every 3 months. So there it is. And with that sad note, let's take our final break and come back with Big Kev's Geek Stuff, episode 144, Dreamed a Dream. Matt, you have to check out our latest sponsor, In His Likeness.
In His Likeness is a non-denominational view of the gods and how they view us. With pot shots at pop culture, geekdom, and good versus evil, over 250 strips about dots can't be wrong.
Yeah, they're really funny, too. Kind of just a bunch of weird dots, but they have their own sort of little universe, and I think they're really funny.
You can check them out at inhislikeness.com.
Wait, that was mine.
I know, but you threw off the flow.
Why aren't you doing some sort of riff thing? Told me to riff, I riffed.
Yeah, but we don't have anything else to say now other than when it's updated and when the website is.
You have an opinion.
It's not an opinion piece. It's a ad.
Fine. You can check out In His Likeness at inhislikeness.com, conveniently. And it's updated 3 times a week, Sunday, Wednesday, and Friday. Inhislikeness.com.
Come with me if you want to live.
Hey, this is Linda Hamilton from The Terminator, and you are listening to Big Kev's Geek Stuff.
Hasta la vista, baby.
We are back with Big Kev's Geek Stuff, episode 144, Dream to Dream. Anything can happen. What did we talk about?
We talked about Susan Boyle.
We did.
And her amazing stint on, what is it, Britain Has Talent.
Thunderbolt Ross is going to be joining the cast of Robin Hood. And Zac Efron is going to be playing Johnny Quest, maybe in the movie that probably won't be called Johnny Quest because Speed Racer sucked.
God.
Ryan Austin Green wants to be the Green Lantern. And according to my poll, most people think he deserves to at least be in the pot. And Terminator and Dollhouse probably not coming back.
Yay.
Just saying.
Good. Gives me more time to be on the pot.
Jim Sturgess and Evan Rachel Wood, according to our inside sources, say they are currently the front runners to be Spider-Man and Mary Jane in the Julie Taymor Bono Across the Universe reunion production, Spider-Man the Musical, Turn Off the Dark.
Is it really called Turn Off the Dark?
I believe so. I believe that's like the subtitle.
We talked about comics we'd like you to check out this week, and they included Moon Knight 29, Submariner Comics number 1, The Phantom Generations number 1, Star Trek Alien Spotlight Klingons, and of course the wonderful Zorro number 12 from Dynamite Entertainment.
We also had this week's D&D 4th edition update. It's a new module for you to play featuring our favorites, the Drow.
Yes, Demon Queen's Enclave, it's called. It's number P2, if you're identifying that way, from our friends at Wizards of the Coast, and you can check out dndinsider.com, letter D, letter N, letter D, insider.com, for more information on this, other fabulous D&D products. And speaking of products, we also spoke about the lone DVD of the week.
The Spirit.
Yes, the recent
Gabriel Macht
movie version of The Spirit, now available on DVD with lots of hot women in it. Can't deny that.
That's right.
But for a for an equally questionable presentation of The Spirit, you may also want to check out The Boot of the Week, the Spirit TV pilot from 1986 featuring our friend Sam J. Jones of Flash Gordon fame and Nana Visitor from Star Trek Deep Space Nine. Fail. Epic fail.
That's not very nice to our friend Mike.
What is not fair about it?
Comparing it to that pilot.
I'm not comparing anything. I said for a different...
Okay, I'm sorry.
A different my taste.
Okay, so for a different taste left in your mouth.
Right. For, you know, I just thought of a really bad example. Like, if someone were to in your mouth versus somebody who would in your mouth. Get it?
Right.
Two different tastes. Neither one terribly pleasant.
Okay.
Get it?
And there it is.
Good. I'm sorry. I had to go to the beeps because
even that was too bad for us?
I had to make the point. From Diamond Select Toys, a fantastic two-pack has come out. It is Lieutenant Commander Worf and Chancellor Gowron from Star Trek Deep Space Nine. Fantastic figures. I question the scale changes that they made. I know this wasn't a recent change. I know that they did this a couple of bits ago, but Gowron may be one of the best figures they've ever done. That said, from Grand Gesture Studios and Walt Disney Showcase Collection comes the Rocketeer bust. Rocketeer fans rejoice because, again, another piece of Rocketeer material. And now Dave Stevens is dead.
Yippee skippy.
Dave Stevens is dead, sir.
Yeah, we talked about
that. I know, it's very sad. But any Rocketeer product is good Rocketeer product.
Right.
And any Batman black and white statue that is based on that horrendous Japanese animated film is just not worth your time. But that said, putting him a bunch amongst the other 10 or so that have released is an absolute fantastic collection, and you should check out the most recent one. You'll know it by the fact that he looks like he has a fox's head instead of a bat.
Right.
And that's from our pals over at DC Direct. And that's everything.
Don't forget, you can check us out each and every week over at BigKevsGeekStuff.com. Lots going on over there. We also have a couple partnerships going on right now. You can check us out Sunday nights at 5 p.m. over at Homegrown Radio New Jersey. And on Thursday and Saturday nights at 9 p.m. over at Radio Gotham. So Big Kev's Geek Stuff everywhere, or more than just here.
Yes, and of course, over at the website, look for a brand new string of live from Studio V's. This is the hat series that's currently trickling out from Production Tim. And
Corey.
Yes, and we will have presumably some sort of announcement next week with regards to live shows that will be returning sooner than later. And I think that is it. So without further ado... OG, before we play the Great Big Sea song sung by Alan Doyle, who's in the Robin Hood movie that you can't wait to see, do you have any final words for Big Kev's Geek Stuff episode 144, Dreamed a Dream?
Fuck you, Blizzard, and you add on making motherfuckers.
And on that note, we cue the music.
I've got a smile on my face and I've got four walls around me. I've got the sun in the sky, all the water surround me. Oh, you know, yeah, I win now, sometimes I lose. I've been battered, but I never bruise. It's not so bad. And I say, wait, hey, hey, it's just an ordinary day. And it's all your state of mind. At the end of the day, you just got to say it's alright. Genie sings on the corner, what keeps her from dying?
them say what they want, she won't stop trying. Oh, you know, she might stumble if they push her around. She might fall, but she'll never lie down. It's not so bad. And I say, wait, hey, hey, it's just an ordinary day, and it's all your state of mind. At the end of the day, you just got to say it's alright. It's alright, it's alright, it's alright. In this beautiful life, there's always some sorrow, and it's a double-edged knife, but there's always tomorrow. You know, it's up to you now if you sink or swim. Just keep the faith that your ship will come in. It's not so bad. And I say, wait, it's just an ordinary day, and it's all your state of mind. At the end of the day, you just got to say, I say, wait, it's just an ordinary day, and it's all your state of mind. At the end of the day, you just got to say, it's alright. It's alright, it's alright, 'cause I've got a smile.